Hello and welcome to Stateside. I'm Cynthia Canty. A group of 13 Republican senators continue to work in secrecy, writing a bill to replace the Affordable Care Act. Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell is leading the group. He says Republicans will see a discussion draft of the bill tomorrow. The goal? A vote 1 week from tomorrow, June 29th. With that in mind, consider this.
This massive piece of legislation that seeks to restructure one-sixth of our economy is being written behind closed doors without input from anyone in an effort to jam it past not only the Senate but the American people, an artificial deadline. Every American will be affected by this missing bill. Every single American will be affected by this, and no one will have had an opportunity to read it and to understand it.
And that was Senator Mitch McConnell in 2009 as the Affordable Care Act was being drawn up. Even today, other GOP senators are complaining about the secrecy that he is imposing on this process. Here with us now, Michigan's Democratic Senator Debbie Stabenow. Welcome, Senator.
Well, it's good to be with you.
As you hear Mitch McConnell in 2009, what are your thoughts?
Well, you know, Cynthia, there's two things I would say. First of all, when he was saying that back in 2009, it actually wasn't accurate. I sat on the Finance Committee. Between the two committees working on this, we had 100 hearings and committee meetings, 100. And we spent 18 months writing the bill, 25 days, I think, in total on the floor of the U.S. Senate. So, first of all, that was not accurate. Today, though, his words would be very true. I sit on the Finance Committee. We're not holding any hearings. I had the Health Subcommittee of Finance as the lead Democrat. I've not seen the bill. No one's talked to me about it. We have no information other than what we're getting in bits and pieces from other people. Ironically, I get the information from lobbyists. That's who knows more about it than we do. And the important thing for me, it's not about me not knowing. It's about the people of Michigan not knowing. If somebody has cancer and they're going to lose their treatments, they have a right to know what's in this bill and give their views. If somebody's got a mom with Alzheimer's, they're going to lose their nursing home care. They have a right to know what's in this bill. And so healthcare is not political. It's personal for each and every one of us and our families. And it's stunning to me the way they are trying to ram this through.
We know that you and the other Democratic senators are vowing to fight this or to get a voice in this. You indeed were part of the Democratic talkathon Monday night on the Senate floor. But for all the talk of fight, Senator, what can the Democratic caucus truly do against this GOP majority?
Well, we have voices. We can encourage people to be engaged. They tried to do this way back in January 27th. That's when they originally wanted to do it, because of women's marches and healthcare marches and people engaging and speaking out. It is now in June, and they still have not accomplished it. So that is important. But in the end, the bottom line is three Republican colleagues have to say no to this. That's the bottom line. They have the votes if they have 51 people who want to vote for this. And so I know that people in a number of states around the country are laser focused on their senators who could be the deciding vote. And that's ultimately what has to happen.
When you look at your Republican colleagues in the Senate, do you look around? Do you see three possible, candidates to defeat this bill, to break party ranks?
I do. I mean, there's no question that I have Republican colleagues that know this is bad. But in fact, ironically, the President of the United States said to the Senate Republicans last week that the House bill was mean after he celebrated it in the Rose Garden with the Republican caucus and so on. He now says it's mean.
Which makes everybody wonder what kind of direction can anyone take in crafting something when you see that.
You know what really needs to happen? They need to stop what is a political exercise and instead reach out and work with us on the real issues around health care, lowering the cost of prescription drugs, bringing down out-of-pocket costs. There's still too many families paying too high of a copay. copays and premiums. In this current insurance pool model, there's not enough insurance companies, so there's not enough competition to bring down costs. Let's focus on that. Let's focus on other ways to make healthcare better. That's what we should be doing. And let me stress also, Michigan is the case study for how focusing on healthcare and getting people, giving them an opportunity to see a doctor and get preventative care works and saves money for taxpayers. The governor, the legislature did the right thing, created Healthy Michigan, expanded Medicaid. What happened after that? Well, 97% of Michigan children can now see a doctor. We have 50% fewer people walking into an emergency room to get their care because they can't see a doctor and don't have health insurance. And the bottom line is the state of Michigan, Michigan taxpayers are going to save $432 million next year in savings on health care costs they don't have to pay because people can go to a doctor and they can get preventative care rather than getting really sick and ending up in the most expensive way to get health care, which is the emergency room. So those are the facts, and that's a reason why we need to continue, build on what's working, and fix the problems.
Let's talk about political calculus in all of this. We know the much-watched special election in Georgia to replace Congressman Tom Price was seen as a referendum on President Trump. There were a lot of Democratic hopes riding on that, yet Democrat John Ossoff lost. Do you think this could impact the momentum the GOP has in this health care bill?
Well, first of all, that's a Republican district. And we all had high hopes on that race. I think if John Ossoff had been able to run a local race without it becoming a national referendum, it actually would have been better for him because it's a local district. It's a Republican area. He needed to have Republican support as well as independents, and he was in a very tough atmosphere and still almost won. So, yeah, I give him a lot of credit for that. But I think going forward, what we're going to see is the real referendum in 2018, and we're going to see what happens if they rip healthcare apart and take it away from tens of millions of people and raise everybody else's healthcare costs and take that money and give it to another tax cut for the wealthiest people in the country. I think there are going to be a lot of extremely unhappy people.
All right, let's talk about what you see amongst your Republican colleagues. Thinking, for example, going back to 2009 as the Affordable Care Act was being written, let's take a quick listen to Senator John McCain in 2009.
We want to sit down. We want to do what the president pledged that he would do. We want to sit down and negotiate. We want the C-SPAN cameras in the room. We want to do something which is bipartisan, which is good for America.
And now this morning, Senator McCain is on the morning cable shows complaining he's in the dark about this bill that Majority Leader McConnell and his group are writing. What kinds of dissension are you seeing, and where could this go with your Republican colleagues?
Well, Republican colleagues say they're very frustrated, and I hope that means they'll go to their leader and say, stop this secret process jamming a bill through that affects what is now one-fifth of the economy and affects every single one of us in either our health care costs as well as our coverage. They should say, stop this. I do need to go back, though, to 2009 mm-hmm. again, because there were all kinds of efforts to negotiate in a bipartisan way. In fact, we included 147 Republican amendments in the final bill in an effort to reach out across the aisle and have a bipartisan effort, which is always better. It's always better to get a bipartisan bill. But at the time, Mitch McConnell was very strategic in wanting to have the talking point that no Republican supported the bill. And so even Republican colleagues of mine who were involved and wanted to negotiate felt they could not do that. So this is a very different process than what happened then. And it would be wonderful if Republican colleagues like John McCain would say, you know what, I'm not going to participate in this, and let's do exactly what he said before. Let's sit down, let's work together. Instead of ripping health care away from people and raising their costs, let's solve the problems and lower the costs.
There is talk, and we've heard your Democratic colleagues talking about things that could be done within the Senate to fight this bill in terms of slowing things down, or what's being talked about? What things are in the toolkit?
Well, we will use every tool that we have, and that means speaking, that means offering amendments. We will use every tool that we have. Now, they are using a process that has very limited time on the floor when we actually get to the bill. We want to block the bill from coming to the floor so that we can then change the conversation to, again, lowering the cost of prescription drugs and other out-of-pocket costs. So our hope is that we can block it before it comes. But if we cannot, and that's only 51 votes, so we have to have three Republicans. But if not, there's only 10 hours of debate on this particular approach that they're using. They're using a type of process that will only allow 10 hours of votes. And then we can offer amendments, which we will do. We will offer amendments, as many that we can. But in the end, they are in the majority, and in the end, they will be able to get a vote. And so we know that we have to have three Republican colleagues say no to this. And I'm hopeful in states like Ohio and other states that have expanded Medicaid and have had the same kind of positive experience we've had in Michigan, with more people being covered, more seniors having access to nursing home care and actually saving money for taxpayers. We're hopeful that they will vote in the best interests of the people of their states, and that we'll be able to get three votes.
Democratic Senator Debbie Stabenow, as always, thank you so much, Senator.
You're welcome.